Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today two people from Texas Tech University. I have Rex Oliver, who's the Director of Recruitment, and Jennifer Maupin, who's the Associate Director of Recruitment. Rex and Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today, and welcome.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. So we're going to start off by asking a question to Rex, and then we'll alternate with Jennifer. So Rex, let's get right to it. And let me ask you, can you provide us with an overview of what Texas Tech offers its students in terms of academic opportunities, and what sets it apart from other colleges?
Absolutely. Texas Tech is a university that is a tier one research institution based in Lubbock, Texas, in the western panhandle region of Texas. We're a community of over 40,000 students on our campus and provide each student with the opportunity to study in one of 150 degree programs through 10 different academic colleges. We provide our students with a true residential college experience as well through freshman residency requirements and intentional learning communities in our on-campus residence halls. And we find that that really better supports their first year experience. We also offer undergraduate research opportunities, study abroad programs in over 80 countries worldwide, and we have a robust and fun student life, of course, with over 500 student organizations on our campus. We are a member of the Big 12 Athletic Conference, and so we have a lot of spirit and tradition that surrounds all of our athletic events on campus. But overall, a truly familial atmosphere that you'll find on our campus with those 40,000 students.
Well, that's a terrific overview, and it certainly sounds like you have something for everyone. And I appreciate that you talked about the residence halls and the communities that you build in each. Rex, could you just elaborate a little bit more on that? Because so many people are concerned about coming to such a big school, many people coming from out of state. So if you could just elaborate on how you foster that sense of community within the residence hall to make sure that the students continue to be successful and as part of a larger family and happy once they're on your campus.
Of course. So we kick things off a week before classes start with our official welcome week of activities. We encourage our students to move into the residence halls early so that they're meeting other students, maybe from their area or students that might live in the same floor as them in the on-campus residence halls. But from there, we're really fostering a relationship between the new students and their CAs, their community advisors in their residence halls. We have learning communities established where students can choose to live in the same community as other students that have their same major, because as first-time students, they're probably going to be taking the same classes together. They may even have the same professors. That allows them to study for classes together, maybe share notes if someone maybe got sick and had to miss class or something like that. But it really allows them to have that extra support when they're moving away from home for the first time and establishing that support network.
Well, that's a great point, especially if they're within those communities based on, like you said, the same major. Perhaps they create study groups together. Perhaps, like you said, someone is sick and needs notes. They're in the same classes. So again, it forces that sense of collaboration, which is terrific. So thank you so much for sharing that, Rex. We appreciate it. And Jen, can you tell us about the student life experience at Texas Tech and what kinds of extracurricular activities and organizations are available to your students?
Yes, of course. Texas Tech is has a very vibrant campus life. As Rex mentioned, we have over 500 different registered organizations at Texas Tech University. So we do like to think that in addition to the academics and campus life-wise, there is something for everyone. We have student organizations ranging from academic groups. So if they're in the College of Engineering, they can get involved in engineering type organizations. We have religious organizations, philanthropy opportunities for our students to get involved in, a number of special interest groups. Intramural sports are really big on the Texas Tech campus. It's a great opportunity for our students to get together with their friends, maybe others that are living in the residence halls with them or in the same major, and do those intramural sports. Maybe they aren't the D1 athlete, but they still like to play beach volleyball or softball or something like that. Student government as well at Texas Tech is a really good transition for those students who were involved maybe in high school at the student council level. So it's a great opportunity for them to move into that, the collegiate level for student government. We also have a large fraternity and sorority life on campus as well. So students will go through recruitment the week prior to courses starting. So they'll go through that process if that's an opportunity that they would like to take advantage of. The community in Lubbock, where Texas Tech is located, is so supportive of the Texas Tech campus and our students. They're also very supportive of the Division I Big 12 athletes that we have on campus. So the community spends a lot of time providing support to the campus and the students, where our students are attending games on the weekends and on the evenings, depending on what sports are playing throughout the week. And so the community is also really supportive of that. So we have a great campus life at Texas Tech. And with the majority of our students coming from over 300 miles away and it being a residential campus, we really want to make sure that we provide that opportunity for them so they have that home away from home and are able to get involved in any way they'd like to.
Well, you have your D1 athletics, a vibrant campus life, over 500 organizations, intramural sports, an active student government, Greek life. It really does sound like you have something for everyone. So we really appreciate that overview. And Rex, what is Texas Tech's approach to the admissions process itself, particularly in terms of the criteria and other factors considered when reviewing applications?
Great question. Texas Tech has two ways that a student can be admitted to the university. The first is through our published automatic admission process, where we consider a student's high school class rank, comparing that to their ACT or SAT score. And if they meet that criteria, they'll be automatically admitted to the institution. And we publish that on our website so students can check that out. We do super score on the SAT and ACT test. So the scores that students might see on our website are a super score. For any student that applies, maybe who does not meet our assured admission criteria if they're applying with a test score, or they happen to apply test optional, then we will send them through our holistic review process. Texas Tech has a very true holistic review process where we are considering a student's academic qualifications, like their grades and their academic rigor, but we also take into account optional items like the essay prompts that they'll find on the application, letters of recommendation, extracurricular activities, and possibly any leadership or civic service as well. We are test optional currently through fall of 2025. That is our established test optional policy. As we continue to evaluate the success factors of our students that have enrolled at Texas Tech the last few years being test optional, just to make sure that they are being successful or that they are successful whenever they've enrolled at Texas Tech.
Understood, and I appreciate you mentioning giving additional information. Of course, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions in the show notes, so if there are any links that you want to include, Rex and Jen, just let me know, and of course, we'll make them available to the students and the parents in the show notes. But Rex, I do have a follow-up, because you mentioned something that I had not heard about before in previous episodes, which is the published automatic admissions process. Can you just elaborate a little bit more on that? If a student is interested in showing you their scores to see if they could be automatically admitted, what should they do to make that happen?
Absolutely. So we try to make it as easy as possible. So students don't even have to send us a score to see if they qualify for automatic admission, because the chart is published online. And so if they know what their class rank is based on their high school transcript, they would simply go to our chart, look at what their class rank is compared to that minimum score on their ACT or SAT test. And if it meets the criteria listed in that chart, they are automatically admitted. They just need to apply and send us their transcript and their test scores as well. And I'll be happy to provide a link to you so you can include that in the show notes so students can check that out.
Well, we appreciate that, Rex. And Jen, I was also curious, can you share the percentage of students that apply from out of state? And does your application process differ based on in-state or out-of-state status?
Yes, of course. So currently at Texas Tech, our average out-of-state enrollment, we're about 8% out-of-state. And as far as the admissions process for our out-of-state compared to our in-state students, there is no difference. We look at our out-of-state students the exact same way as our in-state students. So looking at class rank, SAT, ACT score, grades, rigor, extracurricular involvement, any optional materials that they can submit will go into the review process for a student applying out of the state of Texas.
Understood, and we appreciate that. And Rex, the overall number of applications schools are receiving are on the rise. With an increase in applications, how do you determine how many students to accept, waitlist, and even deny when you don't necessarily know how many of these applicants that you accept will actually attend?
Yeah, so we have established goals every year that are set by our administration, and then it's our job to carry those goals out. But I say that because enrollment management as a whole really has to be data-driven. Good enrollment managers use several tools to determine how many students to admit, deny, or waitlist, and it's all driven by those enrollment goals. Data really informs our decisions on a day-to-day basis, looking at historical yield and melt percentages, student profiles, and an increasing reliance on predictive analytics to determine the likelihood that a student actually will enroll at our institution. By analyzing those student profiles and building those analytical models, we as an institution not only determine what students would be a quote-unquote best fit and likely to be successful, but the model also helps us predict who might enroll if they're actually admitted. We recruit students here at Texas Tech through a personalized outreach that really allows us to ensure that we are targeting the right students, admitting the right number who will ultimately enroll and help us meet those goals. But I will say if a student is denied or they are waitlisted to Texas Tech specifically, we work with them throughout the year to encourage them to send in new supporting documentation for their file that would allow them to be reevaluated without having to apply all over again from the very beginning, and continuing to allow them the opportunity to eventually become Texas Tech Red Raiders with that new supporting documentation they might provide.
Understood. And Jen, what is your average profile of the current freshman class in terms of GPA? And I know that your test optional, but any information that you could share with SAT or ACT scores would be greatly appreciated. And I'll follow up with that question by asking, what if a student falls a little lower? What are some of the things that they can do to enhance that overall application?
Yes, of course. So currently the average SAT of our accepted students for our incoming class, so fall 2023, our average SAT is a 1232. And then our average accepted GPA is a 3.72. Now, we do review students holistically, as Rex mentioned. So we have students who are accepted on a range of GPA scale and SAT or ACT scale. So if a student does fall below that average of the 1232 SAT or the 3.72 GPA that we currently have, there are a number of things that they can submit that are optional that gives the review committee more information about that student to make a decision on if the student would achieve academically at Texas Tech University and be successful on our campus. And that is what we want to happen when a student goes through that review process at Texas Tech, is ensure that they will be successful at our institution. And so they can submit the essay. Essays at Texas Tech are optional, so that is something we really encourage students to do. If they don't meet that published assured admissions criteria that Rex mentioned, also submit letters of recommendation. Students can submit those from their educators, coaches, if they have a part-time job from an employer, various connections that a student might have, they can submit letters of recommendation to us. Also, maybe a resume that lists all their extracurricular activities. There is opportunities for students to include that information on the application, so either the Apply Texas or Common App application. And we want them to fill out as much information as they can rather than skip over those sections that are optional or not mandatory for them to complete before they advance to the next page. So that it does give the review committee all the information about the student to make the best decision for that student.
Well, that's great advice, Jennifer. We really appreciate it. And Rex, obviously you and Jennifer have mentioned your holistic review. I was curious about demonstrated interest. Do you track it? And at any point, do you use it as part of your overall application review process?
We do track demonstrated interest, but it is not used in the review process. By tracking it for us, we're going to know if a student attends an event. We're likely going to know if they send us an email or if they call us, just because we track that information. But we encourage students to really connect with their admissions counselor at the very beginning of the process and to start developing a rapport with them. That is their job, to help students through the admissions and enrollment process and make what can be a stressful process a bit easier. They then have an established advocate and support system in place for anything that they need from Texas Tech. So for demonstrated interest, that's what I would say first and foremost, is to really reach out and make that connection with their admissions counselor. Students can also attend any of our regional or on-campus events, virtual workshops, and information sessions, but we don't necessarily consider event attendance in the application review process.
Well, I appreciate you talking about connecting with the admissions counselor, developing that rapport. First of all, students, by doing so, maybe you'll learn something about Texas Tech, for example, in this case, that's not readily available on the website. But also, if you're being considered perhaps for acceptance, maybe not, your counselor could then advocate for you if, in fact, they have a relationship with you. Is that correct, Rex?
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely. They can be your voice through the admissions process to our team on the Texas Tech side, knowing that they have an established relationship with you.
Well, again, we appreciate you sharing that. And Jen, when reviewing applications from various high schools, how do you take into account when one student school may offer close to 20, for example, advanced placement courses, while someone else's might only offer up to 5? How does the review differ for those two types of students?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to look at, right? So this is a really good example of why we feel it's important for schools to submit a high school profile to the institution. And that allows us to review everything that's offered at each individual school. So we know that one school might have 20 advanced placement opportunities where another would have 10. And so that creates a difference in opportunities for our students. And so we do an individual holistic review process, as Rex mentioned. And so we can see individually by that high school profile what each student has taken advantage of that's offered at that school by having that high school profile on record when reviewing those students individually.
Well, we appreciate that. It's important for people to know that you do look at the high school profile. Again, students and parents, if you're not familiar with your high school's profile, certainly reach out to your counselor's office or look on the website. They're usually readily available. And from the admissions part, it's you guys in admissions knowing what is available to the students and how they challenge themselves or not, so that you're comparing that kid with only 5 APs in their high school to the other who has 20. It's based on what was available to your students and how you challenged yourself or not. Is that correct, Jen?
Yes, that is exactly correct.
Well, I appreciate that. And Rex, I know that this has been a really good conversation with a lot of information that we covered, but I just want to ask, is there a question I didn't ask so far or a topic that wasn't brought up just yet that you'd like to share with us now?
I think I would just add that one piece that we haven't discussed is the overall importance of the campus visit. Students are going to learn so much about the institution that they might be considering by going on a campus tour. And whenever we're recommending campus tours, yes, some institutions offer tours on Saturday. We offer tours on Saturday. But I would really encourage students and parents to try to visit during the week. Visit at a time when classes are in session, when students are roaming around the campus, so that you can see what life is like as a student at that institution. If you go on a Saturday or you go during a holiday week when classes aren't in session, you are going to be able to see the buildings and things like that, but you're not going to see the liveliness of that campus. And so I think that's a very important piece to discuss as well, is starting that college visit process early, allowing enough time to make some educated decisions on the school that you're going to be applying to. And even if you have a couple of backup options, also visit those schools, because a backup option could very easily move to the front of the pack after you go on a campus tour, and vice versa.
Well, we appreciate that. Obviously, visiting campus, if you could do so, it's so important. Students, parents, if you can't do so before you apply, certainly try your best to do it before you matriculate to a school, because that campus visit is so important to see what it's like to be on campus, but even what it's like to be outside of campus in the overall community. In this case, we're talking about Texas Tech. And I also like, Rex, what you talked about. If at all possible, of course, you could visit a campus on a Saturday, but if you could do it during the week when classes are in session, there's nothing that beats seeing the life on campus while you're in session. So we really appreciate that. Thank you so much for your help today. And lastly, Jennifer, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would give students and their parents who are getting ready for the college admissions process?
Well, I know that this is a very busy time for students and families. Also a really exciting time, and there's so many things to consider. My top three pieces of advice. One would be apply early. There are deadlines at every institution. They all vary, but applying early is huge and also really instrumental in helping you make your decision once you have all your opportunities in front of you early. And so get everything done, apply early, take a weekend and get it all done. Also, I do recommend students really complete as much information as possible on that application. There are a number of optional items, and we've mentioned those in this podcast, is essays, letters of recommendations, resumes, extracurricular profiles. Submit all that information to us. The most information that we have really helps when making those admissions decisions for a student. And then also that kind of comes into play to my third piece of advice would be don't forget about those scholarship deadlines. Including those optional items can also have an impact on the scholarships that are available to students. And so making sure they're really keeping track of those deadlines as well as general admissions deadlines. I recommend to students, especially since students are applying to multiple institutions, as we mentioned earlier, to make like a spreadsheet that lists all the institutions that they're going to apply to, what are the requirements, what are each of the deadlines for the things that they are interested in. And that way that really helps them stay on track so that they don't miss any opportunities that are available at all the institutions that they're interested in.
Well, I really appreciate that, particularly the advice to apply early. Many times we talked in the podcast episodes about that summer between junior and senior year, taking your time to review the applications, fill them out, make sure your activity sheets are complete, get all of your essays in if possible, and submit by that early action deadline. Most schools for that, it's November. And students, think about it. If you submit by November, in addition to meeting most of the scholarship deadlines, as Jennifer mentioned, hopefully you'll then be able to enjoy your senior year of high school, right? Having submitted everything by November and then enjoy and frankly be a high school kid. So we really appreciate that advice, Jennifer and Rex. You both have been amazing. This is such a great conversation and I'm so happy, as I know it's going to help so many students and their parents. Rex and Jennifer, I can't thank you enough and I do hope to have you again soon. Take care.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP. Hey, podcast friends, if you've been enjoying the College Admissions Process Podcast, I'm excited to share my new book, Straight from the Admissions Office, Insider Strategies for College Applications. It's packed with insights and tips from over 250 podcast episodes with admissions professionals designed to make the college process less overwhelming. Whether you're a student, parent, or college counselor, it's a valuable resource for navigating the admissions process. By grabbing a copy, you're also helping to support the podcast. The links are in the show notes. Thank you, and best wishes to all with the college admissions process.